Confessions of a Bad Mother, written and read by Stephanie Kalman. This book is rated PG. Having children is a bit like assembling a shelf unit from a flat pack. You start off looking at the picture, sure you can do it perfectly. Then you get all the bits out and realise, it's a bit more complicated than you thought. You start in with the screws and dowels, and soon you're overwhelmed. Getting tired and more confused, you succumb to anxiety, anger, and then panic. Finally, you shove it together, hide the bits you've left out, and just hope it doesn't collapse when there's anyone nearby. This book is not a manual. Prologue. We're in a pub in the West Country, and Lydia has no chips. Lawrence's scampi has arrived with plenty, her fish cake with none. I know he can't possibly finish that huge pile, and I hate waste. Lawrence, can you give Lydia some of your chips? No, why should I? Because she hasn't got any, and you've got loads. It's not fair! Peter and I then start to turn into badly dramatised versions of my parents. Why don't we just get some more chips, my father? Because he's got loads already, and he's going to fill up on those and not eat his scampi as it is, my mother. Being a female, I'm engaged in the pointless process of distinguishing one fat-soaked component of the meal from another to create a sort of fictional nutritional hierarchy. Even as the meal degenerates into chaos, I notice that when it comes to the differences between the sexes, this is one of the most intriguing. Women use even the most rudimentary knowledge of food chemistry to at least attempt care for their families by regulating their diets, whereas men tend to just throw themselves down whichever route leads, they think, to an easy life. But the tactic that lends peace to the dinner table now is often the cause of trouble later, of the daddy always lets us have chips variety. Frequently when daddy is not around. This is called writing checks your wife has to cash and is one of the reasons women often want to hit their husbands with pans. Well, none of us can come up to your exacting standards, says Peter, leaving the relatively constricting field of my parenting deficiencies for the wide open prairie of my failed personality in general. I ask my daughter, Lydia, would you like some of my potato instead? No! Lawrence, give Lydia some of your chips. No! Right! I say this decisively, but fail to back it up with any kind of action or even the rest of the sentence. Peter is now refusing to be either of my parents and has cast himself as the reasonable one. Can't we just have our meal? He moans desperately, the innocent Red Cross worker caught between warring rebel factions. This makes me want to punch him really hard. If you won't give Lydia any of your chips, you're not having any pudding. Daddy! This is ridiculous. I take five of Lawrence's chips and put them on Lydia's plate. Thank you, Mummy, says Lydia in her lion cub voice. She took my chips! Well done, says Peter. Happy now? I tell you what would be great, if you'd just once back me up. Well, I'll never be able to do what you want. That's pretty clear. You shit. Mummy said shit. Daddy, Mummy said S-H-1-T. Oh, brilliant, says Peter. Well done. I want to hit him and get out of this awful place with its purple carpet and pathetic attempt to be a brasserie by putting a copy of the Mail on Sunday on the bar. I want to scream at him, push him through the window, and go back to the junction where I left my life. You know, the manageable one. And even if it wasn't always manageable, it didn't keep suddenly getting away from me like this. I should never have become a parent. It's impossible. In the magazines, parenting looks like a cruise. And when you get there, it's a tiny rowing boat in a storm, and some bastard's not put in any oars. Chapter 1. Mother's Block. I wasn't going to have children. I was too frightened to have them, and I was sure I was physically and emotionally incapable of looking after them. Following the terrifying assault of birth, it would be one long, ever-repeating loop between the A&E department and the washing machine. And anyway, I wasn't the maternal type. Well, whatever I was, it didn't appear to be a type. I loved cartoons and comic strips, children's books and toys. I still had my Cindy and her BOAC flight bag on the shelf beside my desk, and I was intensely nostalgic about childhood games, especially orphanages, when my sister and I placed our dolls in far corners of the flat, often with an arm or leg sticking out to indicate injury, and then went round rescuing them with our pram. We often turned the bedroom into a dormitory, and by the age of 10, I was